Chapter 8. Trouble in Paris. But far away, in Saint-Antoine, Paris, nobody was safe. The poor people moved like a violent sea. They carried knives, bayonets, and every weapon they could find. They were angry, after years of starvation and poverty, and desperate for revenge against the aristocrats who had lived in luxury and ignored their suffering. The crowd circled the Defarge's wine shop. Monsieur Defarge shouted, "Jacques III, stay near me! Jacques I and II, lead the crowds! Where is my wife?"
"I am here," Madame Defarge said.
She held a pistol and carried a knife in her belt. "Come then," cried Monsieur Defarge. "Patriots and friends, we are ready. Let's storm the Bastille and release the poor prisoners there." With loud shouts, the crowd ran to the prison, beating their drums. Alarm bells rang and cannons fired. The attack had begun.
"Get to work, comrades," Monsieur Defarge shouted.
Some climbed the giant stone walls, while others ran through fire and smoke. The men tried to pull down the drawbridge.
"Follow me, women," Madame Defarge shouted. "We can kill just like men."
They entered the prison with burning torches, set wagons of straw on fire, and shot at the towers. Somebody inside waved a white flag.
"Set the prisoners free," a man shouted. "Show us the secret cells," another demanded. "Kill any guard who doesn't help us."
Defarge turned to a prison officer and said,
"Take me to the North Tower, now."
"I will," the officer cried, "but it's empty."
"I don't care. Take me to 105 North Tower," Defarge said. "Quick!"
Monsieur Defarge, Jacques III, and the officer walked past terrible cages and dark torture chambers until they reached a tiny cell. The officer opened the door, and they went inside. It was a dirty little room with a small window. There was a black chimney and a heap of ashes on the floor. The bed was just a pile of straw. Defarge said,
"Hold up the torch so I can see the walls."
The initials A.M. were carved into a brick. Alexander Manette. Dr. Manette had been stuck in this horrible place for 18 long years. Defarge imagined his suffering.
"We must search the room thoroughly," Defarge said. "Jacques III, you look through that straw bed."
The men searched the room, but found nothing except rats and insects. Defarge said,
"Hold the light higher."
Then he reached up high between some old bricks in the wall. He was looking for something important and was determined to find it. Meanwhile, the Bastille was falling to the crowd. 8 towers of the fortress were opened, and many wretched prisoners were released from their cells, happy to be free at last. The mob caught the governor of the Bastille. He had tried to defend the prison and had shot many people. The crowd pushed him to the ground. Madame Defarge put her foot on his neck, then reached for her knife, bent down, and cut off his head. The revolution had begun. Some hours later, Madame Defarge sat at a table in the wine shop as the poor people drank and celebrated their violent victory. A short, angry woman sat next to Madame Defarge. She was known as the Vengeance.
"The governor of the Bastille is dead," the Vengeance cried. "Let's hope he is the first of many."
Monsieur Defarge entered the wine shop
very happy. He said,
"Comrades, do you remember old Foulon? He was the aristocrat that told the hungry people that they could eat grass."
The whole shop shouted,
"Yes!"
They all remembered Foulon, and they hated him.
"Well," Monsieur Defarge said, "I've just heard something wonderful. He pretended to be dead. He even had a funeral. Then he hid in the countryside, but our spies found him, and they're dragging him to the Hotel de Ville. Foulon is alive!"
The mob went wild. They couldn't believe the news.
"Patriots," Defarge said, "are you ready?"
The men were excited, and the women were ready to kill. They ran out into the street, hungry for blood. Monsieur and Madame Defarge leading them, with the Vengeance and Jacques Three.
"Give us the head of Foulon," the people cried. "Bury him in the ground. Let the grass grow around him."
"I see him," Madame Defarge said. "He's tied with ropes, and he's got a pile of grass upon his back. Very nice."
The news spread through the crowd, and everybody laughed. Some climbed the walls to watch the scene. Now the crowd chanted,
"Bring him out! Hang him on a lamppost!"
Madame Defarge grabbed the rope and pulled Foulon onto his back. The crowd dragged him down the steps of the building. He begged for mercy as hands pushed grass into his mouth. He was dragged to the nearest lamppost, where they started to hang him. Later that day, the revolutionaries put Foulon's head on a pike. They stuffed grass in his mouth as a reminder of the cruel comments he had made in his lifetime. And the poor people were happy to see it. In the evening, the poor people waited patiently to buy bread. Their stomachs were empty, but they were very happy. They had finally triumphed.
"Our time has come, my dear," Monsieur Defarge said.
"Almost," Madame Defarge said. "But I still have to take my revenge, and I will do it very soon."
In the village where the Marquis Saint-Avremond once ruled, the land was ruined. Peasants lived in the mansion, and the old way of life was gone. One day, a peasant was working alone when a mysterious traveller named Jacques approached him. The stranger asked how to get to the dead Marquis's mansion, and the peasant showed him the way. He wondered why anybody would want to go to the old mansion now that the cruel Marquis was dead. But the next night, the peasant understood this man's business, because the mansion was on fire. Four men had come from north, south, east, and west to burn it. Monsieur Gabelle, a servant of the mansion, watched the fire in terror. The wind pushed the flames higher and higher. The servants ran everywhere, screaming for help.
"The mansion is on fire," they cried. "We must save it, and there are still a few valuable objects inside. They will burn."
The police officers didn't care. They said,
"Let the objects burn. Evremond deserved it."
The fire grew, catching the nearby trees. When the hungry villagers saw the fire, they became wild. They wanted to arrest Monsieur Gabelle because they believed he was also an aristocrat. He worked and lived at the mansion, and that was enough for them. They didn't accept that Gabelle was just a servant. Monsieur Gabelle, terrified for his life, turned and ran into the darkness, hoping to escape from the violent crowd. For 3 years, the revolution raged on and on. The people waved a red flag. They were like an angry beast
wanting more revenge and more blood. The aristocracy began to disappear. Some sent their money to Tellson's bank. Some escaped from France to England. At Tellson's of London, they posted the French news in the window. Inside the bank, Mr. Lorry became worried. He said, "I'd better visit the Paris office of Tellson's. We are getting many strange requests from our customers there." "I want to go too," Charles Darnay said. "I feel bad for the poor people. I want to beg them to stop the violence."
"It's too dangerous for you to go," Lorry said. "Think of Lucy, your daughter, and the doctor."
Just then, a messenger came with a letter. "Mr. Lorry, this letter is for the new Marquis of Evremond. Do you know where to find him?"
"Hmm," Lorry said. "That's the nephew of the murdered Marquis. I believe he lives in London, but I don't know where he is."
Suddenly, Charles said, "I know the fellow."
"You do?" Mr. Lorry said. "I'm sorry to hear that."
"Why do you say that?" Charles said.
"Because this fool inherited his uncle's mansion and left it in the hands of his poor servants. Then the peasants set fire to the mansion and tried to kill the servants. He left his place in chaos."
Careful not to share his true identity, Charles said, "You may not understand him. Maybe his motives were good."
Lorry said, "Maybe not. Will you give him the letter? I must leave for Paris tonight."
"I will," Charles said. Then he went out into the streets of London with the letter and read it. "Monsieur the Marquis, I am in great danger. The mansion has been burned to the ground. I escaped, but they caught me, and I am now in prison. Soon I will be called in front of the tribunal. They will accuse me of being a traitor to France. All I can say is, I work for an emigrant, not an aristocrat. My master hates the aristocracy as much as you do. But where are you? For the love of heaven, please come to Paris and tell them to release me. I did nothing wrong. I was only your poor servant. Every hour, I am closer to death. They will surely cut off my head. Please hurry. Your servant in danger, Gabelle." Charles was very disturbed by this letter. He had left France and given up his aristocratic title, but he had done it too quickly and too carelessly. Now poor Gabelle was in serious trouble. Charles Darnay knew that he had to help the innocent Gabelle, but he couldn't tell his wife or the doctor. He didn't want them to worry. Revolution or no revolution, he had to go back to France immediately.